This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Want to be a guest? Want to be part of the show? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number, and you can always join us in the conversation on social media, at Bart and Hahn on Twitter and Instagram. And, Bart, problems today, man. I know it's a new week.
I'm coming from parts unknown.
Yeah,
so
I understand.
So it's okay.
That
so everybody looking at SL Plus, I'm coming from parts unknown. Don't at me. It ain't none of your damn business where I'm at. Just know it's 75 degrees.
How dare you? At least the snow is melting around here in the Northeast, but we're going to leave it at that. See, that's why
you
we
got problems.
Problems.
You got problems. Problems. I got problems. I got problems with you, Mr. Hahn, because you're a hypocrite.
Oh, am I? Am I? Let's begin this, all right, with Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I'm going to give you, like, this is what they say in the finance world. This is what they say in Wall Street. This is what they say a lot of times, and I've heard this phrase used a couple of times in hip-hop as well. Scared money never wins.
Ooh.
It never wins, Bart. Never wins. So when we talk about the Jets' pursuit of Deshaun Watson or anybody's pursuit of Deshaun Watson, we have to talk about what you got to give up.
Okay.
You got to give to get in this world.
Yes.
And so I know you push back all the time on what the Jets should give to get a top five quarterback, a quarterback that would be the most talented one they've ever had.
Okay.
That would put them in their division where it's a very competitive division right now, where you got Buffalo where they're at. Where you need something like this to get in the game. You got a new coaching staff. You got a GM knows what the hell he's doing. You got an ownership that now decided we're going to step back and let the football guys run this thing. So you got things working out for you, and you have the most important part of the deal. Assets. Lots of them.
Assets. Just give them all away.
So I feel like it's very interesting. In the NFL, you have Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
The player that clearly needs a new start. He wants one. And the team's like, we are not trading him, but no one's believing it. Then you have on the NBA side, Bradley Beal.
Hmm.
Now, Bradley Beal hasn't done what Deshaun's done, which is get me out of here. But we all kind of feel like behind the scenes, he kind of wouldn't mind a change of scenery too. Because the Wizards aren't very good. They haven't been very good. And they really don't have a great future in an East that still remains wide open. So Bradley Beal is another player that you could get that could change the fortunes of a franchise. And you could say I'm a hypocrite, but I'll tell you what. If I'm the Jets, I'm all in on Deshaun Watson.
So
if I'm the Knicks, I am not right now.
What is too much? What is too much? You have to break it down for me, Mr. Hahn. I'm slow. I got an associate's degree. I tell you all the time, man. What is too much and what is not enough for Deshaun Watson? You're saying give up assets. They have plenty of them.
I'm glad you
asked. What assets are you giving up?
Peter King, who you know very well.
Yeah,
he thinks very highly of you, by the way.
Great friend of mine.
Peter King on his latest blog, he put out some proposals on several different teams, not just the Jets, the 49ers, the Panthers, on what he proposes would be the right deal or what could get a deal done. So as I'm looking at this, he says a 6-for-1 deal. And this is what the Jets, he feels.
What's this, Herschel Walker?
Hang on.
Who won that one?
Quiet Coyote. 6-for-1 deal. Sam Darnold, Quinnen Williams, first round picks in 21, which would be the second overall pick. 22, the higher of the two that they have, you know, the other one with Seattle, and second round picks in 21 and 23, all for Watson. And then for Nick Caserio, because again, it's always about why do I want to make the deal if I'm the Texans? Because for Nick Caserio, it's you can basically rebuild everything there, have a quarterback, maybe even get another one, and still have many pieces that you can then reset your franchise. And one caveat he adds there, too, at the very end, is that because the Texans still have cap issues and the Jets have tons of cap space, is maybe they also could say, you really want to make this happen? How bad you want it? You've got to take the guaranteed $10 million in the 2020 contract of Whitney Mercilus.
Let me tell you what, man.
How you feeling about that? And it's the offseason. It's before the draft. You're dealing now.
I respect Peter King. But if he's willing or he thinks that's a good deal, I have some oceanfront property in Idaho to sell him that he can get right now.
Beautiful.
And he can pay me, and I want to be paid in Bitcoin. Like, dude, what the hell is he talking about? So I'm not only am I going to give you back young assets that you don't have to pay Houston, six of them, I'm going to give you a potential Pro Bowler, a young quarterback that you get 2 years to make a decision on. I'm going to give you number two overall pick. Mm-hmm. Who else can give you the number two overall pick? Nobody.
Well, no one.
My point. So number two.
But I know a team that can give the number three overall pick, and they're in my damn division, and
yeah,
I'm not letting that happen, Bart.
Yeah, good
now
luck
I got
with
two
that.
Teams in my division
nah, nah.
with quarterbacks better than mine.
What
no
else?
Chance.
Listen, how was Deshaun Watson with the weapons that he had? He was great. The Jets couldn't even come close to putting those type of weapons even close to him. All they have is the left tackle. They don't have Cobb. They don't have Fuller. Then they won't be able to afford him. Like, it's going to cost you so much money to even field a team, and you won't even be able to build around Deshaun Watson. It'll be 3 years before you even see return on your investment. And
why
at that
you
point,
that
you got
to
worry.
You're going to have cap space that you can add players. And how many players will say, I want to go to New York and play with Deshaun? I might take less to do that.
Nah, they're not taking less if they haven't seen Deshaun win something. Like, players take less when the infrastructure is already set up. Like,
you're telling
take
me
less.
That a player wouldn't I want to go to New York and play with Deshaun.
No.
You're not going to get a single wide receiver.
No.
Not a single one is going to say, I want to go to the Jets and play with this guy.
Before they get to the Jets, they're going to say, hey, how's that receiver situation in Tampa going? Oh, they don't like Michael Thomas down for the Saints. How's mm-hmm. that going?
Who's throwing him now?
They're going to say, hey, Russell Wilson is out there. He got Lockett and Metcalf, but hey, I'd rather go there. It's going to be so many other places they're going to go before they – hey,
oh, wait.
How's
yeah,
that
I'm going to go to Seattle, which you just said is going to be the worst team in their division next year because their defense isn't up to snuff.
They still have the quarterback, and they still have a stud receiver, and they still have a decent
it's
offense.
It's New York. It's Deshaun Watson. It's Robert Saleh.
Well,
I don't understand this. I don't understand your take.
I said, listen, I'm out here, right? I said I'm somewhere where it's nice and sunny. I think I drove by the stadium. Hold up. Oh, they just got a dude named Matthew Stafford in a team that almost went to the Super Bowl. Right. Oh, I'm sure he might want a receiver or two. So just look how long it's going to be before you get return on your investment. I think you cannot have a deal like this. Listen, it's no way. Six picks? Like, are you serious? How
not
did that Herschel
work? No, it wasn't six
picks.
Assets.
Six
pieces.
Six assets.
Yes.
How did that work out for Herschel Walker going to Minnesota? How did that work out?
Well,
didn't work out
really
so well,
well
right?
For Dallas. It did
exactly.
well for Dallas. But it's not a running back. It's a quarterback.
Listen,
this is a much different thing.
Who else is going to give up six picks? The Panthers? What? The Panthers don't have – they don't have the high pick to get. They got eight. They got pick eight.
But this is still a top 10 pick, though.
Listen, the Jets. If I'm the Jets, I'm giving up first the second overall pick, and yeah. I'll give you the Seattle pick. That's three first round picks, Mr. Han. So what are you giving up for Bradley Beal? Don't be putting all this smoke on me. What you giving up for Bradley Beal? Because I would argue that Bradley Beal is the basketball equivalent of Deshaun Watson, a guy that's in that's lost in a market with a franchise
that
can't
win. I think it's a guy that's one of the best scorers in the league. Yeah,
but you don't want to mess up the chemistry.
Not in the middle of the season.
Who cares? The Knicks aren't going nowhere. If they ain't winning
no
playoffs, they ain't winning no playoff series.
Well, they're
going to
get into the playoffs, and that's a start. Haven't done that in 8 years.
Okay,
so let's do that. But why would you do that? Why in the middle of a season? And I understand. Like it's the Wizards, just like the Texans, are both saying, we don't want to trade this guy. Right? Deshaun is the guy that came out and said, I want out of here. Where Bradley Beal, through his agent, Mark Bartleson said he doesn't want to give up. He doesn't want to. Right. That's why I said a lot of people feel like there's still smoke and there's fire. And then the great Michael Kay in New York said that he's hearing that the Knicks are already putting out some kind of back channel feelers, just letting Beal know, hey, all you got to do is ask and we're ready to make a move. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not doing it in the middle of the season. I'm not doing it in the middle of this season. And
why?
Here's why. Because it's going to cost too much. We've heard. Brian Windhorst told. It's going to take three firsts. I mean, look at the Harden deal.
Whoa. What do you mean it's going to cost too much?
It's going to cost too much in the middle of the season. It doesn't end there.
It's going to cost too much for there. We're giving up six assets. Yeah. Oh, for the Jets. But yeah. It's too much.
It's
for,
funny.
For,
both teams
for
are
Knicks.
In the same place. They have a ton of cap space, and they have a lot of assets. But in the middle of a season, it's a lot harder to assimilate a player, bring him into what is a very delicate chemistry that you have right
it's
now.
Basketball.
A very competitive team. And you're not going to have any time to practice. And you're throwing him into the mix.
How did the heart thing work out?
It was early in the season. It actually didn't for the first couple of games. It took them a minute to get right.
How many of the
and
games
we still haven't seen the three of them play together yet.
Still got 50 games. They still got 50 games left.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I need to know if there's one or the other. Who's the guy you go for right now? I'm telling you, it's Watson in the offseason versus Beal in season. It doesn't mean I wouldn't do it offseason. It's just in season to me feels like you're going to carve out your team and then I'll hope that it all fits perfectly as you're trying to make the playoffs for the first time in forever. I've seen that movie before.
How did Derrick Rose work out? They just threw him in there.
Yeah, but that's a lot different. You're putting him on the bench.
Right,
you
but
didn't
you're
have
putting
to give up
play.
Anything. You gave up a guy who wasn't even playing for you. If you're telling me I can get Bradley Beal for Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina, that's a completely different story. But what I but don't want to see is Bradley Beal end up in Philly, end up in Brooklyn, which I don't know how they could do that. But I don't want to see Beal end up on a team that I'm trying to compete with to make the playoffs and have success over the next couple of years. If he's going anywhere, I can't let him go to one of my rivals in the East. I can't let that happen. You understand? So that's the part for me that I have a hard time with.
So every
but the Jets are in the offseason.
Okay,
so, this is the time to deal now.
No. So we talk about this all the time, right? We talk about the fact that it's never been in our league's history so many qualified good quarterbacks around, right? It's never been
good
that
point.
Many.
It's a good
right?
point.
You talk about four new ones are going to come. We're going to be talking about the kid from BYU. We're going to be talking about Trey Lance. We're going to be talking about Lawrence. Right, we're going to potentially talk about Fields, right? So that's going to be four more to the group, right? Why are the Jets in such a hurry? Why are they in such a hurry? Because I would argue, and I've been arguing over and over again, this tree keeps falling over, fall to the left. It stands back up and falls the other. Nobody even hears me or feels me. What I'm saying is, what's going to happen when nobody trades for Deshaun Watson this year, and what happens next year when there's more frustration, when he alienates his teammates for a whole year, when he's a bad character guy, when he's a guy that's not going to be playing, putting the team first. Guess who still got two first-round picks? The Jets. The Jets still got two first.
So then, why are you going? That's a risk. That's a risk.
Yes, it is. But what's the contingency plan? Next year, it's going to be a team that's going to have some quarterback is going to be the number one guy there. Guess who has two number one picks if Sam Darnold isn't the guy to move up, if Deshaun Watson isn't available to move up? The Jets. So why are the Jets going to put all their eggs in one basket for Deshaun Watson when they have multiple outcomes in which they can get Deshaun Watson or get a franchise quarterback? The Jets can have a decent year next year and show everybody that they're much better and still have two first-round picks to move up next year to take whoever's number one because the team that's number one could already have their quarterback answered.
I understand that patience is a virtue. And I understand that sometimes Cool Hand Luke is the way to be when it comes to trades. I get that. But I also know that it's a risk. It's a risk because of the division you're in and the fact that one of the teams in your division that you're trying to not have leap over you is the Miami Dolphins. The Buffalo Bills are already there. They are now a Super Bowl contender. That's legit. So the Patriots might have fallen off. And they're no longer the beast. But the Bills are now the beast. You can't afford to have another beast that is just shrug your shoulders, they're better than us. Because the can't wait moment you had, that comes once in a generation where you have that moment.
Can we get to the people? Because I got so much to say to you. I'm so mad at you right now. I cannot believe that this is the Allen Hine that I love. I can't believe. Like, I don't know. You must have bumped your head. Did you get hit by Burchelt? Did you get hit by Vasquez? Did you take a left hook? Were you in there? Did you have the virtual goggles on and you got a flash knockdown? What the hell's going on with this guy today? What's up with Allen, man? Who bumped his head? Where's Allen Hine? Please return Allen Hine back to the show.
I'm not waiting anymore when it comes to the Jets. If you can get some,
but you
get a player like this, you can.
Patience with the Knicks. You preach patience
just
every
because
day.
They're
We've been
in
on the
season.
Show since January, and you've been preaching patience.
Because they're in season.
Give Thibodeau
time. This is off
season.
It's a totally different story. Let's get the calls because you're right. Let's hear what people think about our little discussion as we started off the week a little hot-headed. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Tyler and Yonkers to start us off. Tyler.
Hey, what's going on, Adam? How you doing?
Good.
I'm okay,
so,
too.
My take and my question is to you guys is, do you really – because I love RJ and I love Toppin, but do you believe there will ever be a top 15 player? Because that's what we're looking at in Beal. I know it's going to take a lot. The three first rounders, you're never, you know, guaranteed to have that panned out to be a special player like Beal. So I'm okay with the three picks to get Beal. You know, if you look at 2K and you look at the 2K reading, he's a 92 overall. I'm not sure if Toppin or RJ
I would never base
there.
A trade on what 2K says.
Hold on, man. They're very accurate. 2K is very accurate. Now you're disrespecting 2K, man.
Well, what was your rating in 2K?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Was it accurate?
I mean, I didn't even have a name on Madden for a long time. So
were you
LB57? Yeah, I was LB57. But I tell you what.
But
like,
thank you, Tyler. RJ Barrett thing is the hardest one of all to me. Because you're going to have to, because that's his position.
But so you give up Toppin.
The Wizards are going to want the picks and RJ and at least something else. And they're going to want an expiring, which I don't have to give them if we trade this in the offseason and I just absorb them into my cap space. But now I'm saving them money without giving them some player that they have to now deal with for the rest of the year.
So this
it
is
makes
the Carmelo
the deal
trade.
Sweeter.
So this is the Carmelo trade all over again. If you just
you're
wait
trying
for
to
him in
avoid
the
Carmelo trade all over again.
Okay,
yes.
But yo, Julius Randle, you'd want to, we love Julius Randle. Guys can grow and all this stuff. They can change and evolve.
I'm not trading
and
Julius Randle.
So what I'm saying is you got Julius Randle. So how would Julius Randle and Beal look together? That's a big two. Now you always got to do is go get another one. So if you got to give up RJ and you got to give up Obi Toppin, then right. So be it.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
The Knicks are the number one defense in the league.
Yes.
Okay. They are awful at one particular very important part of the NBA game today that almost cost them last night when they held on to beat Minnesota, who just fired their coach after the game. And then when they lost to Orlando, which is the worst shooting team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that problem was? Three-point shooting. They don't have it. They're not good at it. They have one guy that can shoot the three a little bit, and even he goes 1-for-6. Like, he's not that good. They need that desperately because they're so good defensively, but the defense can't keep up when the other team just is making threes and you don't keep up with that pace. They need that. He brings that.
Go get J.J. Reddick. Go get J.J. Reddick.
Well, that's what you do in the middle of the season. You don't do that.
Oh, you get J.J. Reddick in the middle of the season. Oh.
Of course you do because you get him for nothing. Not going to cost anything. He's an expiring guy. Right? He's an expiring contract. You could do something pretty easy to get a guy like that. But I am not going to gut my team in the middle of a season as they're all getting along, as they're all playing hard. They have a little something special going on here. I will wait until the offseason to do this, and I guarantee you the Wizards probably want to wait till the offseason to do it as well.
But then you're going to give other teams an opportunity, a shot at it. And I know I'm contradicting myself.
Exactly. This is why I love the paradox. I love this because you and I are on opposite sides, but yet we're saying the same things. That's what I love about this discussion.
But for me, I think the Jets have more options than the Knicks have because I feel like it's more options to be good for the Jets than it is for the Knicks. The Knicks need a superstar to okay for everybody else to know that it's safe to come to New York, right? And it's not going
to
be
the big. That would
be
the that would kind of be the big. To me, that's like that big move. A deal like that sort of sends a message. Let's take Allen in Oregon. Allen,
we got dead air, man.
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up?
I'm here.
Oh, good. How you doing?
Yeah, I have a proposal I think makes good for all teams and players involved. You send Matt Ryan to San Fran, reunite with Shanahan. You send Julio Jones, an agent receiver that's ready to win, to Green Bay with Aaron for a load of picks and get into Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, get him to a big market in Atlanta.
Well, wait.
Hold on. But you just sent Matt Ryan there.
Julio Jones to Green Bay for who?
For picks.
Yeah, for picks.
To
get in.
Well, I see. And then Aaron Rodgers gets another target. Okay.
Well, let me help you out, right? So, you know, Green Bay sends Preston Smith because Rashawn Gary has emerged and became a good player now. You know, top 10 pick from Michigan. So if you send Preston Smith, that gives them a good pass rusher. But I'm going to need some more picks as well. Matty Ice carrying that huge cap number. I don't know if San Francisco can absorb that, but I don't know. But, you know, that's just me. But keep them coming, man. Because
appreciate the call.
I need to wash this stink off, man, because I feel like Allen just got me all dirty.
That's how we start the week, man.
It's Monday, man. You're supposed to ease me back in. You're supposed to just
listen,
hit me with this.
Listen, this has been in my mind all weekend, and I thought to myself, the way I feel about trading for Beal is the way you feel about trading for Watson, and yet you're wrong, and I'm right. That's just how it works. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 to continue the conversation. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Want you to tune in for a basketball, college basketball doubleheader. Duke hosting Syracuse, followed by Texas Tech at Oklahoma State. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coming up, we got some, I mean, there's some headlines all weekend around the world of sports, but something in the world of hockey, and it has nothing to do with the beautiful outdoor game that they played at Lake Tahoe this weekend. It's out of New York, and it involves Artemi Panarin, who's a fantastic scorer for the New York Rangers, and a very bizarre political issue that he is having with his home country of Russia. Wait till you hear this bizarre story. And more with your calls. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn. ESPN Radio. Yes, outstanding. Presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Bart Scott. 11 years in the NFL, Pro Bowler, Ravens, Jets, and his take on Deshaun Watson is the first time I've told. I just feel like he doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to football. Mm-hmm. And of course, me, I've covered the NBA for over a decade, and how I strongly
feel. Same sentiments about the Knicks. Back at you.
We will get back to that conversation, but Bart, it's been a very busy weekend with a lot of different headlines, and we don't talk a lot of hockey here, but I just, you know, in about 5 minutes, we'll get to the Cam Newton story, which is another one of those things that I know you and I both as parents.
In our old show.
You as an athlete.
Yeah. In our old show, you used to get fined for doing that hockey, but today, because I think it's bigger than just a sport.
This is not just a hockey story.
You may proceed.
Yeah, so like I said, 5 minutes, we'll get to Cam Newton, but here, if I could, just for a couple of minutes, tell you this story that is a very bizarre story that is just starting to come out, and it involves Artemi Panarin, who is a star winger for the New York Rangers, and he is taking a leave of absence from the team for personal reasons, and this is after a Russian newspaper published allegations from Panarin's former coach in the KHL, which is their pro league in Russia, Andrei Nazarov, who claimed that Panarin got into a physical altercation with an 18-year-old girl in Latvia in 2011. Mm. Now, the interview said that Panarin sent her to the floor with several powerful blows. Okay, Nazarov's been critical of Panarin because Panarin has been outspoken in his criticism of Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, no, you can't.
The Rangers put out a statement. And it said that Panarin vehemently and unequivocally denies any and all allegations to this fabricated story. Right there, a professional sports franchise would put out a statement calling something a fabricated story. A very strong statement from the Rangers.
Right.
This is again, more of the statement. This is clearly an intimidation tactic being used against him for being outspoken on recent political events. And so the Rangers are supporting him, and they're going to try to identify the source of these unfounded allegations.
Yeah, but you know who pulls the strings in Russia. So, I mean, we have to challenge. Not that it's saying that it's not true, because I don't know if anybody can do what they're capable of. But you have to challenge what you're being told from anything that's coming out of Russia. And does this now alienate him from his country? As we see, I forget the guy who ran for president against Putin, who was poisoned, who's afraid to go back. And, you know, this just kind of puts everything in perspective for me. As an athlete, you know, one thing I love about America, the fact that I'm allowed to have my political views be, you know, indifferent and say, hey, you know, I don't believe that this is right, and I don't have fear of my life. I don't have
look
fear
at the NFL
of my family's
and NBA.
Life.
That's yeah. a great point. I mean, think about what this country's gone through, and then, you know, from Colin Kaepernick to now,
right.
protesting, speaking out, what people have said.
He might have lost his career, and he wasn't in fear of his life.
Well, I understand. Yeah, exactly. But he also did have opportunities to come back in the league. He didn't. But you the point is, though, is that here's a player, and if you want to equate this, Panarin – he was a finalist for the Hart Trophy last year. That is the MVP of the league. Okay, so just try to equate this to
so
NBA standards.
So he's Joel Embiid.
Well, it could be anything like that. Like, you think about it, the NBA or NFL standards. You're not talking about a guy. You know, Enes Kanter has had a political battle with his home country of Turkey for many, many years. And his family has been involved in it. His father has been involved in it. And that is something that he's never backed down from. He's been very outspoken. And Panarin has done the same. So, like I said, I bring this to light just because it is, you know, we've been in this kind of sports political world for a long time in our country. And we've seen athletes speaking out. We've seen athletes, you know, taking action. And here's a situation where it's very similar, where it's a Russian player who has been outspoken. He's living here in America. And they are feeling like they are now trying to attack him politically through accusations that are, at least they're saying, allegedly unfounded, and trying to smear whether it's his reputation or find reason to bring him back to Russia and bring him to court and try to you know, put him on trial, which could be a very scary situation. So it is something to monitor, and we just thought it was worth bringing up, and that's why we did it there. But Bart, as we move on, in the world of sports, there's really a lot to get to. This other story that happened over the weekend caught your attention and mine as well. And it involves Cam Newton and a high school player who, while he was having his 7-on-7 football tournament that he hosts, there was a viral video of this high school player who was taunting Cam Newton and said he was about to be poor.
At his camp.
Yeah. His name is Joseph Owens. He's from a high school in Pennsylvania. And it was caught on video, and it was incredibly disrespectful the way he was talking to him, because it didn't seem like it was like in fun or in jest. It
talking
was
to
pretty
an
nasty.
Adult. You're talking to an adult. Cam Newton is old enough to be his teacher. Like, you know, he could be teaching him, be one of his professors or teachers within his school. It's disrespect, man.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, because we're both parents. We both have sons. You know, where our sons, we put them into sports,
yeah.
And it's one of those where the minute you see something like this, what do we all think of? The first thing we think of is, and even actually Cam said it to the kid, where's your dad?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to deal with you. Let me talk to your dad, because this, I'm not, because you can't win, Bart, right? If you had a kid come up to you and just start talking trash to you, you don't win that. You laugh about it. He was saying, I'm rich. Like, he didn't have anything other to respond. But then he's like, where's your dad? Because that's what, as a grown-up, that's what I would say too. Where's your father? Because I would want to say to your dad, like, is this what you're raising?
Right.
Is this what you're raising?
Because what you're displaying will stop you and block you from your blessings. Right. The blessing is that Cam Newton has been gracious enough to run this camp, I believe, since his second year in the league, sponsored by Under Armour, you know, very well funded. And he comes there and he gives his time. And no matter what, this was a down year for him. And so was last year, coming having to have surgery. But no matter what, rain, sleet, or snow, he's there for those kids to put them around in the best environment so they can get ranked, so they can be seen, so they can go against some of the best players in their sport so that they can get ranked so colleges can know who they are, so maybe they can get recruited more heavily. And they can also pick the brains of multiple professionals. Now, I wish – that a player would have came to my high school, or I would have had access to be able to pick the brain of somebody who was the MVP, somebody that was a national champion, somebody that has accomplished half of what Cam has accomplished in his sports career, and also his off-the-field career, what he's been able to do from endorsements, how he's been able to brand himself, how he came in with a checkered background, but he's been pretty much clean since he's been in the league. How did he turn his life around? How did he make better decisions? How did he surround himself around better people? I know he lost the yogurt thing because what he said, you know, the argument or the statement that he made to the woman reporter. But come on, man. This is a guy that has done it the right way. He's a guy that you should see yourself in. And the kid wants to try and talk smack to him like he's – bro, you've accomplished something because you're a five-star recruit? Like, take a seat, bro. And sometimes it's a generational thing. We see the lack of respect for their elders. This is a grown man.
Yes.
This is a grown man talking to you. Cam isn't a kid. Why are you talking to him as if you guys are equals?
Like, I think it's that. I really do think it's a generational thing that has started to become really it's more about going viral and more about, you know, being a trending topic and getting likes. Yeah, well, he did, of course, as expected, post an apology from his phone, his notes app from the phone. And he just said, first and foremost, I want to express my deepest apologies to Cam Newton, my entire organization, and my coaches for my actions at the 7v7 tournament this past weekend. I did not intend for it to get as far as it did. First, I'd like to start off by saying my parents never taught me to treat people disrespectful. Of course they didn't. And then he said, as a football player, I let my competitive side get the best of me, and it was a huge miscommunication. He goes on to talk about how he's in the midst of the moment and realize now how it could look, how you took it as disrespect. I never meant to humiliate and let anyone down. He talks about he's appreciative and all that stuff. He said, I realize this can dictate my future as a young man, having very big dreams/goals.
But
I will not allow this to stop me from getting where I need to be. So, again, I apologize and hope I can be forgiven. And Cam did in his response on his Instagram talking about that's why I wanted to talk to the dad. And now we do this because we want to offer opportunities, you know, for young men. And that's why we do this. And he left it at that, taking the high road. But, Bart, this is one of those things that I do think is a generational thing. I think it's, you know, oh, well, hopefully he learned his lesson.
But what's the generational part of it? What's the other generational part of it? Who did he at?
Well,
like,
added,
who did he – come
he
on,
added
man,
a,
that's
he
what
added
about.
Cam, but also a couple of media outlets, including ESPN.
Exactly. Like stop it, bro. Like, you're trying to get a moment. Like, nobody's here for this Jerry Springer. Nobody's here for this Oprah Winfrey moment or this Dr. Phil, the Meet Me Outside girl who blew up. Everybody's trying to go viral now. Catch Me Outside girl, and they're missing the context, and they're missing the substance, and they're missing what really is their blessing, and he's going to miss his blessing. Nobody want to hear that, son. You're going to have to learn the hard way.
I'm a coach. Yeah, you know, if you're a coach, you think twice about it. Do I really want a guy like that in my program? Kid better be really, really good, no doubt about it, and also on his best behavior going forward. But that's one of those is a teaching moment. We'll find out eventually. Barton Hammer brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Coming up, we've got to also discuss this weekend one of the biggest knockouts of the year that we've seen in a very long time. A fight we talked to you about on Friday. Man. If you missed it, what did you miss? We will discuss.
Get Bob back on. Say, I told you so, suckers.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I feel like this beat, like, it almost tells me, like, just bring it down a little touch, right? Guests on the Bart Hahn Show up here on the Goodyear Hotline. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, of course, is the number to be part of the conversation, at Bart Hahn on Twitter and Instagram as well. And the feed is just on fire today, and that is great. The calls are still coming in. Don't know if I just made up a word there, but whatever that is.
I made up a name, Backass.
You did, but it's actually
Valdez. Yo,
so let's you know what? Let's do it. Let's call this making moves. And you know who's making moves?
Who's making moves?
Yeah, it sounded like Alexa, didn't it? Oscar Valdez made a move. And did he ever? It was Saturday night, the WBC Junior Lightweight title fight
top
at
rank.
MGM. And we had Bob Arum on Friday. He told us, two Mexican fighters, this is going to be a brawl. This is not going to be defense. This is going to be a brawl. And it was a brawl. And that knockout punch that he laid in the 10th, just before the bell against Miguel Burchelt, was jarring is the best way I could describe it, Bart. And John, you know, Winthrop, our producer, was talking about how he's watching it with his son. And we all felt the same way because we were talking about 103 power punches to the head. Like Burchelt was taking an absolute beating and just
wouldn't go
down.
We were surprised he was still standing since the fourth round. Yeah. We were still surprised that from the fourth round that he was even still standing and actually came back and started delivering some offense. It was amazing to watch.
And then he
I
goes,
love to see people get knocked out, though.
And, man, that knockout was just – his whole body just collapsed. Like, he just goes down. And then he's laid out. And as J-Dub was saying, he's like – I was talking to my son, like, hey, this is going to be a great fight. Stay up with me and watch it. And then he's like, I just want to make sure he was still alive. Like, we were worried about his condition. And what a fight, what a brawl. And how about this? Burchelt, they take him right to the hospital afterwards, get him checked out. Any head trauma, because he had tons of it. Believe it or not, he was fine. They cleared him. He left. No issues. Nothing. And I thought he was great. He said, Burchelt said this afterwards, I want to tell you that I'm fine. Thank God my test went well. He said it was not my night, no doubt about that. But he also said, I want to acknowledge all the work of Oscar Valdez. We Mexicans are warriors, and we waged a war. He said it was a night I'll never forget. What a fight that was.
Well, I don't know if you want to remember that one. This should be a fight that he should forget. And sometimes we see boxers never come back and recover from those type of knockouts. I mean, Pacquiao got a tough one from Marquez, but he came back from that one, and he's still relatively fighting as well. But also, when you talk about, it was a war and there was no defense, I mean, Oscar Valdez, his ring generalship was amazing. The fact how he was moving, pivoting, getting off the spot, and that's like trying to hit a moving target. And we thought that he was just going to run out of conditioning. But Burchelt was a heavy-handed, slow-footed fighter, and it showed you that if you can't really be able to set up your power like we saw with Wilder, that you're going to have an opportunity to get hurt. And he was, no doubt about that.
All right, but we got to run. We got to run.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.